You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the power of now. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment by Eckhart Tolle. We'll start with a quote from Eckhart. He says, quote, "You are here to enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold. That is how important you are," end quote. Again, that's Tolle from The Power of Now. So Eckhart Tolle is a cool dude. In addition to having the greatest collection of sweater vests in the world, hands down, he's remarkably lucid. I'm stating the obvious there if you've read his work. And I'm still getting my head and soul around how we live with peace and mojo. And I lean toward Osho. You can see the notes on Osho on this one. Tolle says this, quote, "There is one certain criterion by which you can measure your success in this practice, the degree of peace that you feel within," end quote. Osho says, peace has to dance and silence has to sing. And unless your innermost realization becomes a laughter, something is still lacking. Something still has to be done, end quote. But that is for a longer discussion another time. For now, let's rock some of the plethora of big ideas with which this book is packed. If this resonates with you, get The Power of Now, now. We'll start with the first big idea, watching the thinker. Quote, "Many people live with a tormentor in their head that continuously attacks and punishes them and drains them of vital energy. It is the cause of untold misery and unhappiness, as well as of disease. The good news is that you can free yourself from your mind. This is the only true liberation. You can take the first step right now. Start listening to the voice in your head as often as you can. Pay particular attention to any repetitive thought patterns, those old gramophone records that have been playing in your head perhaps for many years. This is what I mean by watching the thinker, which is another way of saying, listen to the voice in your head. Be there as the witnessing presence," end quote. So you might have noticed that little voice in your head, huh? One of the key first steps in entering the power of now is to be able to get outside of the tremendous force of an undisciplined mind. As Eckhart says, quote, "When you listen to that voice, listen to it impartially. That is to say, do not judge. Do not judge or condemn what you hear. For doing so would mean that the same voice has come in again through the back door. You'll soon realize there is the voice, and here I am listening to it, watching it. This I am realization, this sense of your own presence, is not a thought. It arises from beyond the mind," end quote. So if we do that consistently, we start to notice some gaps between our thoughts, a gap of what Tolle calls no mind. It's a good place to be. But is that state passive and disengaged? Nope. Tolle says this, quote, "It is not a trance-like state, not at all. There is no loss of consciousness here. The opposite is the case. If the price of peace were a lowering of your consciousness and the price of stillness a lack of vitality and alertness, then they would not be worth having. In this state of interconnectedness, you are much more alert, more awake than in the mind-identified state. You are fully present. It also raises the vibrational frequency of the energy field that gives life to the physical body," end quote. So there you go. Watch your thinker. Get that on. That leads to the next big idea, reconnecting with divine intelligence. Tolle says this, quote, "There's clearly an intelligence at work that is far greater than the mind. How can a single human cell measuring 1/1000th of an inch across contain instructions within its DNA that would fill 1,000 books, 600 pages each? The more we learn about the workings of the body, the more we realize just how vast is the intelligence at work within it, and how little we know. When the mind reconnects with that, it becomes a most wonderful tool. It then serves something greater than itself," end quote. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I haven't consciously digested a meal in a while, not thinking about that process. And I'm not working hard making sure my fingernails are growing or my heart keeps beating while I'm asleep. Yep, there's something much bigger and much more intelligent than me taking care of all that stuff. Imagine our little out-of-control monkey minds unplugging us from a power outlet that is God. Our job is to quiet our minds long enough so we can allow more of that intelligence to flow through us and into the eternal now. And, of course, to enjoy the process. All right, the next big idea is one of my favorites. Accept it as if you had chosen it. Quote, accept, then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend and ally, not your enemy. This will miraculously transform your whole life. End quote. That's awesome. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Think about that. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. So what's stressing you out right now? Think about that. Got it? All right, now accept it as if you had chosen it. That is a remarkably simple and equally powerful way to live and will definitely, miraculously transform your whole life. Flow with life. Don't work against it. Byron Katie says the same thing in her great book, Loving What Is. You can see the notes on that. She says that when she argues with reality, she loses, but only 100% of the time. So let's quit arguing with reality. Love what is and act as if we'd asked for exactly what we're experiencing. The next big idea is catch it the moment it awakens. Quote, watch out for any sign of unhappiness in yourself, in whatever form. It may be the awakening of the pain body. This can take the form of irritation, impatience, a somber mood, a desire to hurt, anger, rage, depression, a need to have some drama in your relationship, and so on. Catch it the moment it awakens from its dormant state. End quote. That's genius. We're planting seeds all the time. If we want to enjoy a beautiful garden of consistent joy and love and appreciation and all that goodness, we've got to stop planting weed seeds, huh? Hint on the answer, yes, we do. Stop planting those. Tolle is really big on the idea that we need to catch ourselves the moment we find ourselves slipping into negativity. As he says, quote, any delay will allow a conditioned mental emotional reaction to arise and take you over, end quote. So neuroplasticity peeps would totally agree. If we want to rewire our consciousness, we've got to quit running the old patterns and create new grooves. To achieve this, in addition to getting into our watching the thinker mode, he also advises us to, quote, make it a habit to go within at once and focus as much as you can on the inner energy field of your body. As we do that, we get out of our minds and into our being. As he says, quote, just as the sun is infinitely brighter than a candle flame, there is infinitely more intelligence in being than in your mind, end quote. The next big idea is clock time versus psychological time. Quote, the enlightened person's main focus of attention is always the now, but they are still peripherally aware of time. In other words, they use clock time, but are free of psychological time. End quote. So clock time versus psychological time, very cool stuff. Tolle continues by saying this, quote, be alert as you practice this so that you do not unwittingly transform clock time into psychological time. For example, if you made a mistake in the past and learned from it now, you are using clock time. On the other hand, if you dwell on it mentally and self-criticism, remorse, or guilt come up, then you are making the mistake into me and mine. You make it part of your sense of self. And it has become psychological time, which is always linked to a false sense of identity. Non-forgiveness necessarily implies a heavy burden of psychological time. End quote. I dig that. So did you know that Tibetans don't even have a word for guilt? Nope. The closest they have, according to Geshe Michael Roach in his great book, The Diamond Cutter, you can see the notes on that, is this, something along the lines of intelligent regret that decides to do things differently. It's the closest the Tibetans have to the idea of guilt. That's amazing. It's also using clock time while staying present in the now. Beating yourself over the head with guilt, shame, etc. gets you out of the now and into psychological time, not where we want to hang out. Here's a bit more mojo on clock time versus psychological time as it relates to goals and the now. Tolle says this, quote, "If you set yourself a goal and work toward it, you are using clock time. You are aware of where you want to go, but you honor and give your fullest attention to the step that you are taking at this moment. If you then become excessively focused on the goal, perhaps because you are seeking happiness, fulfillment, or a more complete sense of self in it, the now is then no longer honored. It becomes reduced to a mere stepping stone to the future, with no intrinsic value. Clock time then turns into psychological time. Your life's journey is no longer an adventure, just an obsessive need to arrive, to attain, to make it. You no longer see or smell the flowers by the wayside either. Nor are you aware of the beauty and the miracle of life that unfolds all around you when you are present in the now." So there you go, clock time versus psychological time. The next big idea is presence and the promise of salvation. Quote, "All negativity is caused by an accumulation of psychological time and denial of the present. Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry, all forms of fear are caused by too much future and not enough presence. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, and all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by too much past and not enough presence. Most people find it difficult to believe that a state of consciousness totally free of all negativity is possible. And yet this is the liberated state to which all spiritual teachings point. It is the promise of salvation, not in an illusory future, but right here and now." End quote. Can I get an amen on that one? Thank you. So he says, "All negativity is caused by an accumulation of psychological time and denial of the present." Are you feeling any negativity? Which side of the spectrum are you on? Too much future, creating anxiety, tension, stress, or worry? Bring yourself back to the present. Or do you have too much past, creating guilt, shame, and bitterness? Bring yourself back to the present. Can you see how your negativity is created by leaning in one direction or the other and stepping out of this now? Super powerful thing to feel, see, realize, huh? That witnessing alone is pretty much what we need to dissolve the negativity and reclaim our now. So the next big idea is one of my favorites as well. He says, "If it makes you sick, quit eating it." Quote, "Once you realize that a certain kind of food makes you sick, would you carry on eating that food and keep asserting that it is okay to be sick?" End quote. It gives me a huge smile. It's the conclusion to a section all about accepting whatever emotional experience you're having and choosing to no longer create the internal sickness by no longer thinking the thoughts that make you sick. In response to a questioner celebrating the power of accepting our emotions, Tolle says this, quote, "It is certainly true that when you accept your resentment, moodiness, anger, and so on, you are no longer forced to act them out blindly, and you are less likely to project them onto others. But I wonder if you are not deceiving yourself. When you have been practicing acceptance for a while, as you have, there comes a point when you need to go on to the next stage, where those negative emotions are not created anymore. If you don't, your acceptance just becomes a mental label that allows your ego to continue to indulge in unhappiness, and so strengthen your separation from other people, your surroundings, your here and now." End quote. That's brilliant. So what are you eating, thinking and doing in your life that you know makes you emotionally sick? Is now a good time to choose a new food? Stop eating the stuff that makes you sick. All right, and the next big idea is take responsibility and choose. Quote, "Wherever you are, be there totally. If you find your here and now intolerable and it makes you unhappy, you have three options. Remove yourself from the situation, change it, or accept it totally. If you want to take responsibility for your life, you must choose one of those three options, and you must choose now. Then accept the consequences. No excuses, no negativity, no psychic pollution. Keep your inner space clear." End quote. That's poetry. So, are you experiencing something stressful in your life? Sweet. Identify it. Now it's time to make one of three choices. One, remove yourself from the situation. Two, change it. Or three, accept it completely. So, which one will it be for you? Take responsibility for your life. Make a choice. Accept the consequences. No negativity. No excuses. No psychic pollution. Oh, and have fun. Choosing to be empowered is a deeply joyous thing. So let's shake out our bodies, relax a bit, and enjoy the dynamic experience that is life. Leads us to the next big idea, actions and fruits. Quote, so do not be concerned with the fruit of your action. Just give attention to the action itself. The fruit will come of its own accord. Tully walks us through the Bhagavad Gita 101 lesson on renouncing the fruits of our labors, but not our goals and our labors. He brilliantly articulates the relationship. And in response to a question about whether, from a state of wholeness, we would still be able to or willing to pursue external goals, he says this, quote, of course, but you will not have illusory expectations that anything or anybody in the future will save you or make you happy. As far as your life situation is concerned, there may be things to be attained or acquired. That's the world of form, of gain and loss. Yet on a deeper level, you are already complete. And when you realize that, there is a playful, joyous energy behind everything you do. Being free of psychological time, you no longer pursue your goals with grim determination, driven by fear, anger, discontent, or the need to become someone. Nor will you remain inactive through fear of failure, which to the ego is loss of self. When your deeper sense of self is derived from being, when you are free of becoming as a psychological need, neither your happiness nor your sense of self depends on the outcome, and there is freedom from fear. He continues by saying that as we embrace this relationship, we don't seek, quote, permanency where it cannot be found. In the world of form, of gain and loss, birth and death, you don't demand that situations, conditions, places, or people should make you happy, and then suffer when they don't live up to your expectations. Everything is honored, but nothing matters. Forms are born and die, yet you are aware of the eternal underneath the forms. You know that nothing real can be threatened. When this is your state of being, how can you not succeed? You have succeeded already. At this moment, we cue Alleluia music. That's some pretty powerful stuff. And we also move on to the next big idea, which is life situations versus life. Tolle says, quote, there's nothing wrong with striving to improve your life situation. You can improve your life situation, but you cannot improve your life. Life is primary. Life is your deepest inner being. It is already whole, complete, perfect. Your life situation consists of your circumstances and your experiences. There is nothing wrong with setting goals and striving to achieve things. The mistake lies in using it as a substitute for the feeling of life, for being. The only point of access for that is the now. You are then like an architect who pays no attention to the foundation of a building, but spends a lot of time working on the superstructure. End quote. There's another cool distinction, life versus life situations. Our life, our inner being, is perfect. The now is full. We live with gratitude for the gift of life and all the wonderful things we are blessed to experience. From that place, we can effectively have fun improving what Tolle calls our external life situations. But if we ignore the perfection of our being that is our life and spend all our energy trying to improve our life situation, we're like the architect who works on the superstructure without spending any time on the foundation. Quick hint, that house falls at the first strong wind, not a very stable place to build from or to live from. The next big idea, and we've got two more, is a perfect recipe for dissatisfaction. Quote, is your goal taking up so much of your attention that you reduce the present moment to a means to an end? Is it taking the joy out of your doing? Are you waiting to start living? If you develop such a mind pattern, no matter what you achieve or get, the present will never be good enough. The future will always seem better. A perfect recipe for permanent dissatisfaction and non-fulfillment. Don't you agree? End quote. That's classic. Remember the big idea on no longer eating food that you know makes you sick? Well, here's the perfect recipe to get yourself sickity sick whenever you want. It goes like this. Get a big bowl. Mindlessly throw in several handfuls of waiting to start living. Generously sprinkle in a deep sense of this is never enough. Filter out all appreciation for what is. Carelessly toss in some someday, then binge, guaranteed to make you feel like crapola. Alternatively, we can joyfully mix and match the ideas that resonate most deeply with us and create a delicacy of blissful nowness, sprinkled with love, appreciation, peace, and all that yumminess. It is always our choice which recipe we choose to use, so let's choose wisely. That leads us to the last big idea, the journey into yourself. Quote, your life's journey has an outer purpose and an inner purpose. The outer purpose is to arrive at your goal or destination, to accomplish what you set out to do, to achieve this or that, which of course implies future. But if your destination or the steps you are going to take in the future take up so much of your attention that they become more important to you than the step you are taking now, then you completely miss the journey's inner purpose, which has nothing to do with where you are going or what you are doing, but everything to do with how. It has nothing to do with the future, but everything to do with the quality of your consciousness at this moment. Your outer journey may contain a million steps. Your inner journey only has one, the step you are taking right now. As you become more deeply aware of this one step, you realize that it already contains within itself all the other steps, as well as the destination. This one step then becomes transformed into an expression of perfection, an act of great beauty and quality. It will have taken you into being, and the light of being will shine through it. This is both the purpose and the fulfillment of your inner journey, the journey into yourself. End quote. That is the recipe we want, the recipe to live into the power of now. So here's to the journey into ourselves, enjoying that power of now. This is the conclusion of the note. I will share a bit about Tolle, some other notes I think you'll enjoy if you like this one, and then some quotes from the sidebar. Then we will wrap it up. So the author of The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, was born in Germany, graduated from the University of London, and worked at Cambridge University. When he was 29, a profound spiritual transformation virtually dissolved his old identity and radically changed the course of his life. He is now a counselor and spiritual teacher. Learn more about Eckhart on his website and get the book as well if you're digging it. All right, so some notes you might enjoy if you enjoyed this one. Another book by Tolle, A New Earth, The Philosopher's Notes on Loving What Is, on Mastery, on the Bhagavad Gita, and on the Dhammapada. Here's some quotes. Become an alchemist. Transmute base metal into gold, suffering into consciousness, disaster into enlightenment. These are all quotes by Tolle. As within, so without. If humans clear inner pollution, then they will also cease to create outer pollution. The present moment is all you ever have. There is never a time when your life is not this moment. Is this not a fact? Watch any plant or animal and let it teach you the acceptance of what is. Surrender to the now. Let it teach you being. Let it teach you integrity, which means to be one, to be yourself, to be real. Let it teach you how to live and how to die and how not to make living and dying into a problem. Observe the mind. Smile at it. Are you stressed? Are you so busy getting to the future that the present is reduced to a means of getting there? Stress is caused by being here but wanting to be there, or being in the present but wanting to be in the future. Ask yourself, is there joy, ease, and lightness in what I'm doing? If there isn't, then time is covering up the present moment, and life is perceived as a burden or a struggle. In any emergency, either you survive or you don't. Either way, it's not a problem. I love that. If it is the quality of your consciousness at this moment that determines the future, then what is it that determines the quality of your consciousness? Your degree of presence. So the only place where true change can occur and where the past can be dissolved is the now. The reason why you don't put your hand in the fire is not because of fear, it's because you know that you'll get burned. You don't need fear to avoid unnecessary danger, just a minimum of intelligence and common sense. Just as you cannot fight the darkness, you cannot fight the pain body. Trying to do so would create inner conflict and thus further pain. Watching is enough. Watching it implies accepting it as part of what is at this moment. Unconscious, the way I use the word here, means to be identified with some mental or emotional pattern. It implies complete absence of the watcher. I would say about 80 to 90% of most people's thinking is not only repetitive and useless, but because of its dysfunctional and often negative nature, much of it is also harmful. Observe your mind and you will find this to be true. It causes serious leakage of vital energy. In your everyday life, you can practice this by taking any routine activity that normally is only a means to an end and giving it your fullest attention, so that it becomes an end in itself. And finally, there is one certain criterion by which you can measure your success in this practice, the degree of peace that you feel within. Well, there you go. There's a quick look at The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed sharing it. And go get the book if it's resonating with you. And have a great day. Look forward to sharing more with you.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.